What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Prep Rally Podcast, your go-to huddle for high school sports action in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. I'm your host, Sydney Ruth Mulvannon.
I am Graham Thomas. Leland Barclay joins us in the River Valley. We've got the highlights, hype, and of course our Gimme 5 and Top 5, where we count down the top athletes of the week from Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley.
Whether you're listening on the way to practice or sitting in the stands, we've got something for every high school sports fan. Let's kick it off with this week's biggest wins and wildest finishes as we reel it back. Welcome back to Prep Rally. Let's recap some games. All right, Graham.
Let's reel it back. So, Sydney, yeah. I'm telling you, there's so much to reel back. We're not going to be able to do it in 8 minutes, but we'll give it our best. Let's start with the big matchup of the week, which was Bentonville at Fayetteville, which turned into not such a great matchup after all. No. Bentonville with a huge 48-14 win over Fayetteville and really sets us up for another huge matchup with Bentonville this week. We'll get into that in a second, but just kind of keeping tabs on how that game was going throughout the night. I wasn't there in person, but it just kept getting worse and worse for Fayetteville, and
it was not fun to watch. This was one of those games where I watched as an alumni, and it was brutal.
Brutal. Really good night for Bentonville. Bentonville Tigers.
Yeah, they played a great win. Game.
And, you know, the Bentonville Tigers are a really good football team. Leland thinks they're going to win the state championship. And probably no surprise to Leland that Bentonville played well. Maybe a surprise that Fayetteville did not play well. Leland, I'm just kind of guessing there.
Yeah, I was expecting a little more of an offensive shootout. Now, you know, we talked last week about how Bentonville, and they've hung their hat on defense and running the football for several years, for a long time now. So if it wasn't going to be a shootout, it was going to be because of Bentonville's defense. And sure enough, you know, they intercepted two passes. They held Fayetteville's offense to 331 yards and led 48-7 at the half. So, yes, a little bit of a surprise, but not a shocker by any means.
Definitely not a shocker that Bentonville won. I don't know. Sydney and I both picked Fayetteville to win, and, well, we were incorrect.
I admit I was a little biased on my pick there.
I was not biased, but anyway, let's go down to probably the good feel good story of the week, Leland. Rogers Heritage with I tell you what, 41-40 win in overtime over Fort Smith Northside, and you know that was a matchup of two winless teams, so someone was going to walk away happy. Rogers Heritage snaps a 22-game conference losing streak and then a 25-game losing streak overall. And I can only imagine the jubilation on that Rogers Heritage sideline at David Gates Stadium last week.
I'm not sure that you can imagine it because it was unimaginable. Of course, the sideline, I mean, the team, the stands, I mean, it was a great it was a great moment for Rogers Heritage to get that win. Best game I've seen this year, 41-40 in overtime. So you can imagine. I love high school overtime. I hate the NFL overtime. Stupid. I like the college overtime a lot. But high school overtime is just different. Ball on the 10, no first downs, four downs or three downs. And there's so many different ways that teams can play it. I love the fact that Northside lined up to go for two in the win for several reasons. First of all, the golden rule of overtime, play for the tie at home, go for the win on the road. That's what Northside did. Also, the fact that they had not led in that game, so they had a chance to not only take their first lead of the game, but also win it by making 3 yards in the two-point conversion. And also the fact that, They put the ball in Warren Bijou's hands, who had already set a conference rushing record and a school rushing record with 374 yards of offense. So they put the ball in his hands for the two-point conversion. So I love the decision to go for two. Heritage held on and won it 41-40. Great performance by Heritage, especially the wing T that they've just installed this year. They ran the ball. They were very effective. And I tell you, the quarterback, Braden Carroll, managed that team great. Senior running back Evan Gordon had a great game. It was just a great game all the way around.
And Leland, you visited with Eric Munoz, the Rodgers Heritage coach, and a couple of the players after the game, and we'll play those interviews for you here now.
You know, what's it like when you look up there at that scoreboard and you're on the winning side?
It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. We put in so much work throughout these years, throughout the offseason, and they really brought it together today. Our offense fired off on all cylinders. Our defense did the same. It's such a blessing, and I got to give it all to my O-line. They did their job so I could do more, and everybody worked their butt off. I love it. It's such a good feeling, and I'm going to cherish it this weekend for sure.
Such a roller coaster game. You guys had a big lead in the second quarter. They came back and tied it. Then you got the lead. Then they tied it. What was kind of the feeling going into overtime? Did you guys have, you know, a lot of confidence at that point?
Man, it was definitely a roller coaster of emotions. But our coaches made sure we kept positive. Braden Carroll made sure we stayed positive too. He's been such a leader throughout this whole year, and he's the reason why we pulled through over this. And I'm so blessed for my team. I love you.
Back, what a roller coaster of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stand up for our kids. Hard day work. It's a fun.
You know, you had the big lead. Great second quarter. You come back and give up the lead, but you never – or they came back and tied it, but you never gave up the lead. I mean, you kept – the drive at the end and the overtime were huge.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about at halftime that this team's not going to give up. They're a good team. And, our team's knows it's a quarter game, and they fought. I'm able to play at the end and win it. And I'm so proud of my kids.
Once they missed the field goal or you know, they didn't get the field goal, how big of a lift was that?
Well, I mean, we told them that the stuff's going to happen. We're going to block it, they're going to miss it. And that's what we told them, and they believed it, and it happened. And we moved on to overtime, I brought them all together, and the look in their eyes, they were ready to win the game.
All right. Well, congratulations to Rodgers Heritage. I'm with you, too, by the way, Leland, on what you said about Northside. I loved what I read from Coach Dom Maroc about how, you know, I believe in my kids. I love my kids. I want to give them a chance to win it. They just didn't get it done. Kind of a gutsy rally on their part, too, because they were down pretty big.
Yeah, they were down. Heritage, second quarter, you know, I talked about in the story about what a roller coaster of a game it was. First quarter, it's 7-7. And then Rodgers Heritage scored two rushing touchdowns in the second quarter. They also kicked a field goal. They also got a safety, and they missed a 47-yard field goal attempt. It hit the crossbar. So, he almost hit a 47-yarder. So the second quarter, they really took control. Northside comes out, scores two touchdowns in the second half. Are in the third quarter to tie it up 27-27. Then it's tied 34-34. So just a great game all the way around. And you know, you talk about Eric Munoz and that interview, he was probably the calmest guy in the whole stadium after the game. So I don't know if he was still in maybe a little bit of shock or disbelief, but certainly elation on his part.
Well, clearly they thought they could win because they went out and played like that. So I'm going to hit on a couple of the other 7A West games. Rodgers clobbered Springdale, Jeff Regan with another big night. Harbor, boy, it was close with Bentonville West for a half, and then West, our little guy, VJ Warren, he's a really good ball player. He had a big night. West kind of pulled away there at the end and forced some turnovers. Turnovers are just killing Harbor right now. How about Van Buren? Van Buren with the 17-10 win against Fort Smith Southside. The Pointers are 4-0 in league play for the first time since 1996. I was 14 in the fall of 1996.
Wow, I didn't exist yet.
Well, that 96 team, you know, that was the state championship team that was really good. Wishbone team, coached by Gary Autry. wishbone offense, great defense as well. They, you know, just a great team. That team actually was the first team in 7A West history to ever go 7-0 and win all seven games by the 13-point tiebreaker margin and never trail in a conference game. So anytime a team, you know, a Van Buren team can get a reference and get mentioned in the same sentence as that 1996 team, that's a good season.
That is a good season. So, you know, Van Buren is with a huge win. They're 4-0 and have a very tall task this week. Yeah, I mean, just a lot. There were a lot of other games, Sydney, but those were the big ones for us. And we could probably talk about all of them if they let us, but we'd be here all day. So
I wouldn't be. Y'all two would be.
That's how Leland, when we go on road trips together, we just reminisce the good old days like 1996.
So. Yeah, it's almost like the road trip is about 15 minutes long.
That's a great compliment. I'll take it.
Well, with that being said, we'll go into our sponsor, West Termite. Take control of your pests with West, whether it's termites, mosquitoes, bed bugs, weeds, or lawn disease. West has the experience serving Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma since 2003. Book your free consultation online today at westtermite.com. Come on, guys.
After all, West knows pests best.
Yeah, okay. A little off,
we ought to do it like, you know, alternate words and, you know, kind of to set that up with some.
Yeah, okay.
Like a sing-along.
Yeah, let's try it one more time. After all.
West knows
pests best.
Okay, well, that was awful, but we thank our sponsors so much for just supporting us in this episode, but we'll be back. This is Prep Rally. Welcome back to Prep Rally. We are going to look at some upcoming matches and predictions.
Okay, well, I think we better start with Leland down in the game he's going to be at this week. Just that, you know, it's here, that second round of the 3A1 round robin with Boonville, Mansfield, and Charleston. And this week it's the mighty Mansfield Tigers at the Boonville Bearcats, and Leland will be there. And, man, it's going to be a great atmosphere Friday night. I hope the weather holds off.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be, you know, this is the way football was meant to be played. It's going to be on grass. It's going to be two teams that line up and run at each other, physical teams. You know, it's going to be a knockdown dragout, I think. And like you said, this is round two of maybe three huge games in the 3A1. Now, Mansfield can make that third round not as important with a win on Friday night, but you know, we'll see. Boonville has kind of been laying in wait for this game. They've gotten healthy for the most part now. And, you know, this is the big one. This is one of them that we've had circles since, January or February, probably.
We have not spoken a lot of Doc Crowley and the Boonville Bearcats to this point. So you're right. They've been just laying in the weeds, ready to get somebody. And Mansfield better look out. And then those guys know that over at Mansfield. They'll be ready for them. And I don't care what you say, Charleston and Boonville the week after is still huge. Whether it's still in play for the conference title or not, I mean, it's a big matchup for both of those teams. So a lot of – going to be a fun couple of weeks in that 3A1. You know, there's some really good games. Dardanelle at Ozark is going to be should be a really good one. Dardanelle is the top team in Class 4A. Van Buren is on the road at Greenwood. Both teams are 4-0 in the 6A West. Morrilton is making the trip up to Farmington for just a show. I mean, that game ended 78-75 last year. Unbelievable. And Farmington won it. Don't think that's not on Morrilton's mind this year. And then there's the big one. They're all big, right? But undefeated Bentonville at undefeated Rogers. And, you know, Leland, on the way back from Oklahoma City yesterday, I had to do just some thinking to myself about the 2006 Bentonville-Rogers matchup at Rogers at Old David Gates Stadium where you were at just this last week. You know, the reported 10,000 people were there for that one that night when Rodgers last beat Bentonville.
Wow.
To win the conference, to go 7-0 in the league. At the time, they were 10-0, just the best season Rodgers ever had. Well, this Mounties team, they've not been able to beat Bentonville since that night. It's been 19 years now. So a lot at stake here for Rodgers. There's a lot at stake for Bentonville, too. You know, they've had the upper hand against Rodgers, but what a great showdown that should be. And I guess the question is, can Bentonville stop Rodgers' offense with Bentonville's vaunted defense? And can Rodgers get enough stops on defense to help its offense?
Yeah, all those things. And like you said, this is the biggest week in Arkansas high school football this season up till now. All those games are just gigantic games. But, yeah, there should be at least 12,000 people at that game on Friday night, Bentonville and Rodgers, Benton County. The second most games played between two schools in the state is Bentonville and Rodgers.
You enjoying that coffee there, Sydney?
I am.
Y'all going to need an extra cup on Friday night. I'm telling you, it'll be nice and cool, and the Mounties and the Tigers are going to get after it. Leland, were you there in 2006 at that game?
No, I was at the state championship game in Little Rock. In fact, I was down on the field when Southside kicked the field goal that won that game, the state championship team. But that was the Ronnie Peacock team in 2006, following up that great Springdale team of 2005.
Well, you know, Rodgers had Lee Zimba playing left tackle, one of the biggest recruits the state's ever had, who went to Auburn. You know, Rodgers bolted out to a 21-0 lead against Bentonville, and Bentonville came storming back in the second half and went to overtime, and Rodgers won in overtime. They got a turnover on defense, and then they punched it in from 10 yards out and won the game. It was wild. It was a fantastic time to be following high school football in Northwest Arkansas, and we'll see if the Tigers and Mounties can recreate that kind of magic. Just kind of a fun note here. Jody Grant and Chad Harbison, the head coaches for both teams now, were both assistants on their staffs at Bentonville and Rodgers in that 2006 game. So, in fact, a lot of the guys at Bentonville are still there. They were under Barry Lunny at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys at Rodgers, Coach Rob Bray was there. Like I said, Coach Chad Harbison was there. So a lot of those guys remember that. Can it live up to that? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's a great segue into who you got.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it. I'll start us off. Dardanelle at Ozark. So what a great matchup, a great opportunity for Ozark to welcome a really great Dardanelle Sand Lizards team, the Sand Lizards, led by a guy named Creed Vega. He sounds like a boxer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, Ozark, it's been a great story. Josh Watson and his staff there at Ozark have done a great job. Who you got, though? I'm going to go with Dardanelle close at Ozark. Sydney, who you got?
Now, I don't really necessarily like lizards, but in this case, I do. So, Dardanelle.
Leland, who you got?
Well, and you know, you talk about Creed Vega and a boxer. I don't know if you've seen him or not, but you know, I saw him last year at the track meet. He throws the shot for Dardanelle, and you would not want to go 10 rounds with him. So I don't think anybody wants to go four quarters with him either. You know, Lamar was up on them 14-0 after the first quarter last week, and was up 21-7. And then, of course, Creed Vega got the roll in, and they won that game by two touchdowns. But I do think Dardanelle is ranked number one in the state in Class 4A for a reason, and a big reason why is Creed Vega. But they've got other guys, or as coaches like to say these days, they've got other dudes too, and I think Dardanelle wins this game.
Much love to Ozark, though. They've really kind of turned it around. This John Skolarski is just a sophomore.
Yes,
they're going to be really good. in the next few years. And so we'll look forward to seeing how they do in this one Friday night. Van Buren at Greenwood, the Pointers have been a great story. I'm afraid the clock strikes midnight for Cinderella, though, at Greenwood. I just don't know that, you know, I don't know that Van Buren will be able to get over that hump on Friday. So I'm taking Greenwood to beat Van Buren at home. Sydney, who you got?
You know, I like both teams, okay? But I'm kind of on a streak right now with Van Buren, so I'm going to have to take the Pointers in this one.
I love it. Love it. You said that last week, too. So I'm on a roll with Van Buren.
I've been on a roll with them this season, so I'm going to continue to pick them.
All right. Leland, who you got?
Well, and you know, you're right. It's, you know, you say Cinderella. Van Buren's played very well, especially defensively the last 3 weeks. Have only given up 2 offensive touchdowns the last 3 weeks. But yes, Greenwood's a different animal. Kane Archer is, you know, having one of the greatest careers in Arkansas high school football history. And Greenwood got Champ Davis back last week, which is a huge lift for the team, especially the offense. And I do think this is maybe the best defense that Greenwood will have faced up to this point. But it still won't be enough. I think Greenwood does win this game.
I will say, if this game were being played at Van Buren, I might think about it. But, you know, much respect to Van Buren. They've had a great year so far, and they're doing a lot of great things on offense and defense for sure. How about this one? Morrilton at Farmington, a 5A West showdown at Cardinal Stadium in Farmington. A really neat setting. You know, we talked about the pretty cities. Farmington's got a good one, too. They've got some mountains around them. The game ended 78-75 last year. 2 really fun quarterbacks.
Those are basketball numbers.
Maddox Berry and Aiden Lester, 2 really good coaches, Cody McNabb and Tommy Tice. I just can't go against Farmington at home. Give me Farmington to beat Morrilton, but not the offensive shootout that it was last year. Only probably like 48-45, something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Farmington.
Leland, what you got?
Well, and this may be a case of, and you're right, I don't think it'll be as high scoring as last year. I mean, predicting another game like that would just, you know, be crazy. But it might be the case of the first team to 50 wins this year. But I do think Morrilton will have the best quarterback on the field on Friday night. Maddox Berry tied with Kane Archer last year for the most touchdowns in the state with 57. I think Morrilton gets revenge at Farmington and wins another shootout.
I hope Tommy Tice calls you Saturday morning to tell you. You probably welcome that call, too. Ain't nothing like getting seeing Tommy Tice on the caller ID.
He may be calling here in a few minutes or after the show.
Yeah.
You should tell him your pick.
Mansfield.
Oh, he'll know.
Mansfield at Boonville. Oh, man. You know, I've kind of gone against Mansfield a couple times in these big games, and they've taught me that why are you going against Mansfield? But, man, Boonville at home, on the grass.
But you're going to do it anyway.
I might have to flip Leland's coin here. You know what? I'm going to roll the dice. Going to believe in the Boonville Bearcats laying in the weeds. I kind of like that setup. Boonville with the upset of Mansfield. I want to see the 3A1 chaos. I want us to get out the tiebreaker rules and figure all that out. That's a great time. So I'm taking Boonville. Who you got, Sydney?
Well, I've been kind of on a roll with Mansfield, so I'm going to have to stick with them.
Probably a smart pick. Leland, who you got?
Well, and okay, Graham, picking Boonville is, okay, that's not a real upset, picking Boonville with their, I mean, with their history and their tradition. Anytime you pick Boonville, that's usually a good choice. But I just think I picked Mansfield number one all season long. In the Class 3A poll for the Arkansas Sports Media poll. I've also picked Boonville number 2. So this is a matchup between my number 1 and number 2. And even though it's at Boonville, I still think Mansfield wins and duplicates the win over them last year.
Awesome. Well, and the last one we're going to pick, and we're going to start with Leland. Bentonville at Rogers. Who you got, Leland?
Well, again, like I said, you know, when we were talking about Greenwood and Van Buren and how this may be the best defense that Greenwood has faced this year, this will definitely be the best defense that Rogers has faced this year. And I think their defense, the fact that they're going to run the ball, they're more methodical. You know, last week in their in the game against Fayetteville, Bentonville rushed for 289. They threw for 273. That balance, along with their defense, I just think gives them an upper hand against Rogers and the high-flying offense. I think that's enough to neutralize some of that offense, and Bentonville wins.
Sydney, we're going to go with you last.
Okay.
I'll take it here. I think I'm in agreement with Leland. I think that you know, history tells us that Bentonville has been the better team in this rivalry over the last few years, even though it's been close a couple times. But it's always been Bentonville's balance, not only on offense, but what they're able to, the consistency they bring on defense to get enough stops. Nobody stopped Rogers this year. Whenever Rogers has had stops on offense, they've stopped themselves, honestly. So I'm going to go with the Bentonville Tigers to beat the Rogers Mounties. And, you know, I think Bentonville is kind of a, you know, they've established that they are definitely a state title contender. All right, Americano. Who you got?
I'm processing. Give me a second. I'm going with Rogers.
Love it.
And because I honestly love watching them play.
Oh yeah, it's
so
a great pick.
I think out of both the teams, to me, I think they have the more dynamic offense. So I have to go for Rogers for that.
You know, and if the game gets into a shootout type of atmosphere, I mean, you know, because Rogers will do, you know, Leland, Rogers will onside kick too. I mean, they'll just do what they have to do. They've kind of taken a little bit of a Kevin Kelly style of play sometimes. That, you know, if they get into a situation where they feel they can't stop Bentonville and their Arkansas receivers, they'll just onside kick and try and keep it away from them. I mean, so
well, and that's a good philosophy because you know, Kevin Kelly did all the math on that stuff, and I forget what his numbers were at PA, but if he recovered two onside kicks in a game, I think he was undefeated. So obviously that's a huge part of the game that could sway it into Rogers' favor.
Now let me be clear. Rogers doesn't typically do the onside. They'll surprise some teams with some onside kicks, but I know they feel like if they're struggling to stop, just kind of like what's been done to them too, by the way. You know, Fayetteville did that, Bentonville West did that a little bit, just to not let Rogers' offense have the ball. I mean, the best.
Well, and Sheridan did that too when they played the non-conference game. But I think in most of those games, I'm not sure that Rogers gave up any onside kicks. I think they recovered all of them.
Yeah, against Sheridan, they did for sure. But well, I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, we'll have to see. And also plug again, but our next Prep Rally Road Trip episode will be on Rogers. So stay tuned. Well, before we get into the Give Me Five, we want to remind everyone that NWA Online and the River Valley, DemocratGazette.com are the premier spots to get all the latest news on all high school sports. Additionally, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Prep Rally Sports, where we share exclusive interviews and just a lot of other fun stuff. So now, let's take it away with the Give Me Five.
My name is Marvin Thompson, and this is the River Valley Give Me Five.
These are the top five performances in the past week in the River Valley. But we're going to start off with number five, and it's going to be a double nickel. We're going to go two here. Two quarterbacks who are having tremendous years. Josh Honey of Paris, we're going to mention him for the third week in a row. 18 of 22 for 349 yards and five touchdowns last week in a 41-12 win over Jesseville. He's now thrown 19 touchdown passes, which is a single-season school record for the Eagles. Ty Farmer, his receiver this week, seven catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns. And in fact, three of those touchdowns were in the first half. Big win for Paris sets up a big three-game flurry to end the season for Paris. It's going to decide their playoff, fortunes this year. And no, we have not forgotten about Kane Archer. We haven't mentioned him in a couple of weeks. But in a 42-10 win at Lake Hamilton last week, he threw for 345 yards and five touchdowns. He didn't rush for a touchdown, but he has now, in his career, thrown 113 touchdown passes. He's rushed for 47 touchdowns. That's 160 touchdowns accounted for in his career. And if he gets three more rushing touchdowns, he will go 150. No quarterback in the history of Arkansas high school football has ever thrown 100 touchdown passes and rushed for 50. Tremendous career, history in the making at Greenwood for sure. And he's got Champ Davis back, 9 catches for 129 yards and a touchdown last week. Number 4, Ryan Allen. He returned after a week off from injury. 20 rushes for 275 yards and 4 touchdowns in Mount Berg's win over Bigelow, 47-14. Number 3, Evan Griffin, a defensive back for Hackett. 3 interceptions last week in a 27-14 win against Greenland. Number 2, we're going to go to a unit. Van Buren's defense last week intercepted 3 passes. We've got videos on all 3 of them. Linebacker Darren Mays returned the first one 50 yards for a touchdown for a quick 7-0 lead in that 17-10 win against Southside. He also had 12 tackles in the game and 1 for loss. Defensive back Taylen Jones and Tristan Ray also had interceptions in the first half. Jalen Brown blocked a punt. Antoine Cooper was in on 12 tackles in the middle of that defense. Jace Ponder had a sack. And then Jackson Silvers and Donovan Akins teamed up for a big 4th and goal from the 1 stop late in the game to preserve that win for Van Buren. So I don't know if we mentioned everybody's on Van Buren's defense or not, but that covered a bunch of them. Van Buren's defense, 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games allowed. But like we said, they'll get a challenge this week against Greenwood. Number 1, our River Valley Democrat player of the week. And, we kind of broke protocol this week. Normally, our player of the week is going to come from a victorious team. But, wow, what a performance by Warren Bijou in a 41-40 overtime loss at Heritage. 25 carries, 374 yards, and 5 touchdowns rushing. Set a Northside record for rushing yards in a game. He also set the record for most rushing yards in a 7A West conference game, which that the conference history goes back now 52 years. So 374 yards on the ground for Warren Bijou. And we've got videos of a 81-yard touchdown run that he had, a 40-yard touchdown run that he had, and then also the overtime touchdown run that he had. So, we're not quite as versatile as Kane Archer is, but we're pretty versatile with all those videos.
Wow. Well, good job by you guys over, you and Ron Green over at Heritage their night, capturing not only a special night for Warren Bijou, but also for the Heritage War Eagles. So,
right. And then, of course, we sent Brennan to Van Buren, so he got all those interceptions in the first half. So lots of good stuff.
All right. Well, with that, we will move into the Northwest Arkansas Top 5.
Hi, this is Keel Arzmany, and this is the NWA Top 5. Go War Eagles.
All right. The Top 5 performances for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And at number 5, we've got a whole host of state tennis champions, Sydney.
Are you going to read off all these names?
Oh, I absolutely am. we'll start with the 6A boys doubles team of Taylor Lazinski and Henry Maynor of Fayetteville. Those guys won the 6A doubles championship. And then on the girls' side, Fayetteville teammates Olivia Menendez and Lily Watson took the girls' state championship in doubles. So really cool there. In girls' doubles in Class 3A, we have the team of Audrey Walters and Caroline Walters of Elkins with a girls' doubles championship.
Sisters, question mark?
I'm assuming so, but you know, you never really know. I would probably so. Autumn Nguyen from Thaden School with a girls' singles championship in 3A. The team of Kessman and Kessman from Haas Hall Fayetteville, Class 3A boys doubles state champion. And Tommy Aniline of Haas Hall Bentonville with the Class A 3A singles championship. By the way, Elkins girls, Thaden and Central Arkansas Christian all tied for the champion for the state championship in girls 3A tennis, and the boys state championship in 3A was Haas Hall Fayetteville. So tennis season wraps up really this week with the overall championship down in Little Rock. We'll look forward to seeing how our kids do in that. Number four, I'm just really hoping I get this one right. We have Wahe Moo of Green Forest, 17 carries, 237 yards, 4 touchdowns as the Green Forest Tigers clip Lincoln. You just couldn't keep it together, could you?
I'm together.
The Green Forest Red Tigers clip Lincoln 38-35 in a big conference win in the 4A1. Moo had a really great night for Green Forest. 237 yards, as we said, and a lot of touchdowns. Jeff Regan, we've mentioned him earlier, did a lot with his arm this week. 358 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Coach Chad Harbison told us that Springdale was just daring him to throw it, so they did. And he had a big night through the air. He also carried Leland, you're going to just love this one, 6 times, just 6 times for 157 yards and a touchdown. So, good luck, Bentonville, trying to slow down Jeff Regan. Number two, speaking of Bentonville, Chris Ficklin of Bentonville, kind of maybe the guy that doesn't get a lot of the headlines, just kind of steadily goes about and does his work. 16 carries, 204 rushing yards and a touchdown. 2 catches for 56 yards in the passing game as Bentonville rolled past Fayetteville 48-14. And number one, our Northwest Arkansas Player of the Week is Braden Carroll of Rogers Heritage. Scored 4 touchdowns, including the what proved to be the go-ahead score in overtime. And Rogers Heritage snaps just a streak they were looking to get off their back for sure, you know, in both conference and overall. Congratulations to the War Eagles, Sydney. That's it. I'm done. I'm out.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next week. This is Prep Rally.